It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
All right, everybody, welcome into Sports Daily. Jacob Albrecht, Tommy Kester here with you. Glad to be back on a Wednesday, on a Hawaiian shirt Wednesday, where Tommy is choosing not to participate for some reason. That's all right. We can have fun without you. It's Jacob Albrecht here alongside Tommy Kester. Jad Chambers back in studio. It has been it's been a long time. It feels like I haven't been here in forever. And the Royals have gone up in flames since the last time we talked last week. We'll get into that, of course. And, you know, they just keep getting lucky by what's happening around them. But we'll get into that. We'll dig in. We've got KU talk today. Shri Islada, our KU insider, is joining us. We will also talk with Dan Israel. We moved him a day this week with the holiday. So he will join us to help preview that game. Chiefs opener against the Ravens tomorrow. It's all going to be a blast. It's all going to be fun. And we're glad to be here with you for it. Of course, you can call us at 869-1240. That's the IHOP hotline, brought to you by IHOP, and it's all-you-can-eat pancakes deal through September 15th. We'll give away a little HTO for you as well today, so stay tuned for your opportunity to win that. Tommy, it's been a minute. Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Glad to be here today. Happy to have you back, although it's a little blinding when I look at you because of what you're wearing, but nevertheless, I'm glad that you're back. Glad that we're back here doing the show together. It's rare that I'm here on a Wednesday doing a show. I had some schedule changes this week, and so here on a Wednesday, and this is the first time that I have been a part of Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday, although, like you mentioned, I'm not partaking myself. But just seeing you in that, getup,
I'm trying to start a movement here.
I need to miss every Wednesday moving forward deliberately, just like not be on the show because I don't want to be associated with this.
And because you hate fun and you hate all things joyous. That's cool. Whatever. It doesn't hurt my feelings. It does hurt my feelings a little bit. Savage will be with me next week. Don't worry. Savage will be in tomorrow. By the way, programming note, we're making picks for the first time on Friday. We have games in the books now for KU, K-State. We're getting ready to have a game in the books for the Chiefs. We'll talk about KU in a little bit. Let's start with the Royals, though, Tommy. This is wild. I left town on a Thursday, traveled all day. I think that was the day that Pasquantino and Ursig ran into each other. I was in the air. I was flying, and I got Tommy's text. I'm like, what in the world? Then the news comes down. Pasquantino essentially done for at least the regular season. Ursig is broken now since that moment. As we learned again last night, he was not good. And then the wheels just keep falling off. And now what are we at? Seven in a row? The most they've lost in a row this season by far. Now, you know, glass half full, Tommy, they haven't lost much in the standings. They're still 4.5 games up of Detroit and Boston because they keep losing. Boston and Seattle have both lost 4 straight. So the damage isn't there. That, you know, the unfortunate part is if they're winning any of these games, they're creating a cushion that would be insurmountable at some point, but they're not. So it looks like this thing's going to be stressful the rest of the way. And, you know, I think the question becomes, Tommy, is there enough gas in the tank? Is there enough left to get there? I applaud them. And I have not heard you all's discussion on, you know, bringing some of these players in, getting Pham in here. Gurriel's hurt, I know, but trying to do anything they can to salvage it despite all the injuries. So I applaud them for that, doing that. But it's got to be enough. Brady Singer was fine last night, and the bullpen let them down. I don't have an answer for anybody out there other than they need this day off badly tomorrow. And it's just going to be a battle of attrition. You know, Pasquantino being out the rest of the way is a just devastating blow, but so is essentially losing your closer, Tommy, which is what's happened here. Ursig came in, what did he come in, the seventh last night, and was bad. And it seems like he's done. Seems like he's broken. And man, if he's broken, we're back to that point we were at a long time ago where the bullpen is now very, very flawed. And I don't have a good answer other than they're just going to have to scratch and claw their way through and hope these other teams continue to struggle as well.
Yeah, it's been just insane to watch the way that the fortunes have swung for the Royals in a week's time. And I don't know really what they can do to fix it. I know what they need to do, but I don't know what they're going to be capable of doing to fix it. And, you know, really, I know that the bullpen, and you mentioned Ursig and all of that, I mean, that's all real, and those are all concerns with the bullpen. But that's not why, really, in my mind, the number one reason why the Royals have lost seven in a row. They've not been able to score runs. I mean, that's been just the bottom line. Their offense, ever since Vinny Pasquantino went down, has gone silent. And they're exhausted. I know going into the game last night, Bobby Witt Jr. was two of his last 19. I know he had a hit last night, you know, so he had two hits. He was 2 for 3. So it was a decent night for Bobby Witt Jr. He also added a walk there, so it was productive. But going into the game, he'd been tired. You could tell that. They gave him a day where he could be the DH over the weekend just to give him at least some kind of semblance of some rest and a break, but they absolutely need him and have to have him in the lineup every single day. So he's not going to be able to get the rest that he probably so desperately needs. And, you know, of course, tomorrow's an off day, but Salvador Perez was 1 for 3 last night. But going into that, he was one of his last 22. So he was exhausted also. I think the other big thing, and I mentioned this yesterday when we were talking to Mike Gillespie from Kings of Kauffman, is that by not having Vinny Pasquantino in the lineup, it changes the way that pitchers are going to approach this lineup. They don't have to worry about the three-headed monster of Witt, Perez, and Pasquantino. Really, it's just going to be Witt and Perez, and they've just got to get through those two guys. That's easier said than done, but still, like, you would rather face two monsters in the middle of the lineup as opposed to three.
Well, you get Pham to help you at the top. That helps. You could sit Bobby Witt Jr., I suppose, but
they're not going to, and I know that he's tired.
I wouldn't either, by the way. I would not sit him either because I'm trying to think of a good way to phrase it. It's not waving the white flag. That's too dramatic, clearly. But it almost is like on this current stretch. I would rather see them leave him in there and let those guys battle through it. They're going to start winning. They're going to lose every game the rest of the season. This has spiraled out of control on them. And it is caused by some very fluky, freaky things. And they'll need a chance to rebound from it. And they will. You know, they have been very, as unlucky as they have been, they have been very lucky at the same time. Because they haven't really given up much in the standings. That is very, very fortunate.
From a wild card perspective, from a divisional perspective.
It doesn't matter anymore, much out though. The window. Like, it really doesn't matter anymore. You just got to get there now. Like, it's not, you know, the one game wild card and all that. We had two wild card teams in the World Series last year. It's just not that important anymore. You just have to get there. And
here's where I disagree with you, though. I think that even though the divisional race is at this point probably out of the question, I do think that that matters. And I think it matters significantly from a morale perspective, you know, because, yeah, they may not have given up a ton of ground in the wild card race as of right now. You know, they've gotten, like you mentioned, lucky, fortunate with the Red Sox and, you know, all of that, because they've still been able to hang on to that that lead in the wild card. First off, that could evaporate if they keep playing the way that they're playing in a matter of days. But number two, from a morale perspective, it was 1 week ago today that the Royals not only were tied for the divisional lead with the Guardians, but they had the tiebreaker. Had the season ended on that day, they would have been the AL Central champions. That unraveled in a matter of 7 days to now they are not in contention for the American League Central. That does something to you from a morale perspective if you're not careful. I think the Royals have a good amount of resolve. I think that they you know, I would think that inside their clubhouse, they know how to manage that sort of thing. But still, if you're not careful, it's already gotten out of control from a divisional perspective, but it could very easily spiral even further if you don't manage this whole situation appropriately.
So I think in this specific scenario, with all of the things happening right now, that does, I don't think that will affect their postseason chances one way or another. Last year, and the reason this jumps into my mind is because I remember a year ago. Do you remember last year, the Astros and the champagne and the wonder what it'll be like when somebody else wins the division? Guess we won't find out today. That whole speech, all that, all those things. The Rangers last year lost 4 out of their last 6 to absolutely blow the division lead and limp into the postseason as a wild card. They're a streaky team. They win the World Series. The Royals are not the same sort of team. They don't have the same kind of firepower in the lineup that the Rangers have. They have better starting rotation if those guys are able to, to do what they do. And they both have flawed bullpens, but it didn't affect them once they got there, because they were still like, the Royals haven't been there in so long. The second, even if they lose the division, the second that they clinch a playoff spot, that buzz and excitement will carry them right into the postseason. So, And what's on paper in front of us and what the roster is dealing with right now, it will feel like a win if they can still get there. Like, it will feel like they overcame some adversity, even though in the division they had it right there. At this point now, like, I just have no, like, don't care. This is all about just getting your spot at the table anymore. And there are so many concerning things. You know, the fatigue in the starting rotation. If you don't have Urcig, the bullpen is real shaky, and you're without, you know, maybe your best run producing bat in the lineup and Vinny Pasquantino, who's not going to be bad. Like, it's not, you just have to take him out. You don't have Quatrero there to help try to find the right buttons to push. And I don't know what those are. I would say I would have Salvador Perez behind Bobby Witt Jr. And then I would probably try, I don't know, DeYoung maybe in the cleanup spot, or for me, somebody that's just productive that you can't just pitch around those two guys. Like, if you put, let's say, Freddie Fermin there, and somebody pitches around and you've got Wiz, Freddie Fermin will have a productive at bat. Like, it's going to look very different than it used to, where you just had those three mashers there. But you got to figure that out. And they have, you know, a month to do it. But I think as long as they can get there, they'll be okay. And that has to become the singular focus of everything right now.
I get it. I think that's also easier said than done. And I'm not suggesting that, the Royals are not a playoff caliber team. They've shown all season long that they can overcome adversity, that they can, find ways to win, even when they're not producing at 100%. I mean, that's been in place multiple times throughout the season where they've not been at 100%, and they've been a flawed team. They know how to win by being a flawed team. This is different because this is 7 in a row, and this is, you know, not just a blown game by a bullpen here, or, you know, leaving runners on base and scoring position there. This is a consistent over 7 games. They've not been able to produce offensively. Say what you will about the bullpen, and I know that there are concerns with Urcig, and, you know, that's just something that has continued, just overall the bullpen not being, at the top of its game. this 7-game losing streak has been driven by a lack of offense. You know, they scored one run last night, but before that, they hadn't scored more than two runs. You know, you have to go back to the Guardian series last week, you know, the last time that they actually scored more than two runs in a game. You know, so it's not been productive offensively for them. They miss not only Pasquantino, but they miss Hunter Renfroe in the lineup. And I don't know what that looks like for his return.
Soon, I think. Hopefully. They got positive news there yesterday.
You know, they need him back in the lineup for sure. Yeah. And they need him to be the Hunter Renfroe that he was before he went on the IL. So they're missing him. You know, the Yuli Gurriel signing, which we talked with Mike Gillespie about yesterday, on paper seemed like it would be a really, you know, low risk, potentially high reward or decent reward acquisition for the Royals. There's no guarantee that he'll be back at all, you know, after playing one game or two games with the Royals.
Yeah.
You know, so they've been snake bitten in a lot of ways. And, you know, I get the whole philosophy of them limping into the postseason, and you get your you can reset the table with your starters. You can kind of make sure that and the Royals are built for short series like that in the playoffs. I get that entire philosophy, man. I'm just concerned that they may not have the firepower to even get that far. You know, if this continues, it's going to be a challenge for them, I think, to even get that final wild card spot.
Yeah, I mean, it will be. It's not like the problems are not mental. Like, they've lost too many players, right? It's a battle of attrition for the roster right now, and no team could overcome losing, you know, your three hole hitter, who's one of the more productive bats in baseball. No team could withstand losing your closer, could withstand, you know, not just that, but you've lost Renfroe in the lineup recently. You lost Hunter Harvey, who you went and acquired.
Michael, so basically, IL.
Yeah, you've lost a start. You've lost, you know, 20% of your starting rotation, your arguably most productive run producing bat. You've lost your closer. You lost your perceived setup man for that closer. And these, I mean, those things pile up. And so, can they overcome it? Yes, they can. Will they? They've got seven more of these games where, like, the timing of this is so tragic because of who they're playing at the moment. They still have one with Cleveland tonight. They still have three with Minnesota, and then they have three in New York after that. And then they do finally begin to get some schedule relief after, which will help. So it's going to be a battle of attrition, and it will be a battle to see how many of these pieces can they get back. So twofold, can they get there still? And then what do they have when they get there? And you know, in theory, you would have Lorenzen back. You could have Urcig back to form by then, maybe. You could have Renfroe back, certainly. So, like, there are pieces that could, you could have Harvey back by that point. Like, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. You just have to get there. And getting there is going to be tough. That's why I say it's been so fortunate right now that in this struggle, they haven't lost much, if any, ground in the wild card. That's what's remarkable about this. So, good luck, Guardians, with your division crown. Like, I don't even, like, it'd be nice to beat them today, not because it could get them back into the divisional race, just because they need a win so badly.
It's rough. I mean, it's a punch in the gut, you know, when you, a week ago, are, you know, saying, okay, like, the Royals are leading this division. Right.
We cautioned there. We cautioned, like, hang on. Like, yeah, I know they're leading the division, but they still, at that point, they still had 16 straight games against really good teams.
Yeah, but they had played extremely well against the Guardians in their season series against them. You know, even if they lose today, they still overall win the season series with the Guardians. So, you know, I think you felt pretty good about that series coming in, especially after you took three or four from them on the road and just about swept them. It's a gut punch. It's a gut punch when you get all the way to the top of the mountain. You're there for a moment, and then you just completely fall off that cliff. They've got to find a way to stem this tide and get out of this tailspin, because I understand, and you're probably more optimistic about this than I am right now. I know there's a light at the end of the tunnel. It's very distant, and they've got to do a lot, and they've got to cross their fingers and hope that the health returns for some of these critical players down the stretch, so they can be maybe not at full capacity because they won't have Pasquantino, but at least feel fairly confident in who they're trotting out on the field. I don't think that overall who they're putting out there overall, outside of the guys that we all know and love, they feel overly confident in. It's going to be a tough stretch. They've got to go 6-1 in these next 7 games for them to reach that 500 mark in the 20-game stretch that we had talked about. That's what the expectations were going into it.
But that was the expectation before they lost Pasquantino, before they lost Ursic. Like, that all changes everything.
Like, you know, we can't put caveats on this. It's not good right now for them. They've got to turn it around if they want to, you know, I guess if you are okay with the end result being, oh yeah, they limp into the playoffs and then they, you know, I guess they maybe lose in the wild card round and then we're done. If that's okay, all right, cool. Like, fine.
I don't want to put an expectation once they get there. What I'm going to is like, yeah, that the expectation was for them to go 10-10 in that 20, but the world got turned upside down on them. It's not the same as it was when that 20 game stretch started. Now, and I think that bleeds into the season. Now it is like you just got to survive all of these nuclear bombs that have been dropped in your lap to the roster over the next few weeks. And I do think we have to change that perspective on what we were hoping, not just for that specific number, but like now it's not, can they get there as one of the best teams in the American League? Now it's just, can they still get there? Because they've lost. I mean, again, no team in baseball is going to overcome directly what they've lost. Now, do they lose 7 in a row? Obviously, again, the timing is just tragic on all of this. But there's good timing, too, because all the teams behind them in the wild card keep losing, too. It doesn't matter if they don't start winning some games. They have to start winning some games. The schedule doesn't care that they've lost all these players. It's just going to keep delivering body blows outside of the uppercuts and the haymakers of these injuries. To get Quatraro back tonight, hopefully he can, you know, get in there and they can rally around him and what he's been dealing with a little bit. We'll have more on this game in the second hour. We'll look at tonight's game specifically on the other side. All right, a lot of fun stuff coming today. In our next segment, we'll have Dan Israel in. We'll have Shreyas Lotta in. Dan Israel's second hour. We'll have Shreyas Lotta in, our KU insider. That's coming up in just a few minutes. We'll look back briefly, probably, on the Lindenwood game and get more excited looking forward for the first real contest for KU. That's coming up next. All that baseball coverage on KFH presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use the savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Okay, you talk when we return on Sports Daily. Welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster alongside you as we make our way through a Wednesday here. So my days are all thrown off, Tommy. This portion of the program, by the way, brought to you by Crestview Country Club. Check out Crestview Country Club right now. Never better weather to golf than right now. Great opportunity to get in there to the bar, watch some of these football games. It's all set up for you and should be just ready to rock and roll. The fall is here. Great chili, usually. Great hot soup. Good football food there that you can get your hands on. But we appreciate their support.
By the way, I love how you're, you know, talking about the food that they have there, which is all great. The first thing you go to is how good their soup is. Like, they mean
their chili, their soup,
and
like,
that's
it's
fine.
A, I mean, that's
yeah.
Fall.
They've
that's
got they've
fall.
Got good soup, but it's like, you know, not the steak. You know, not a great burger. You know, good tacos, whatever. It's like, oh, they've got really good soup. Yeah, like that's a great selling point.
I got chili on my brain right now as we're about to start talking football and getting into football weather. It is football season. We have played college football. KU goes into the opener and beats Lindenwood 48-3. They do not cover the spread, which was hilarious. I think I had it at 45.5, but they don't cover. And so what we're going to do now is bring in our KU insider, Shreyas Lotta, to join the program as KU is, rocking and rolling. Shreyas, I mean, it's fine, right? That's what we wanted to see out of the opener. It's so hard with these games, like, to even If we're going to evaluate, we saw Daniels play a half. He looked fine. Good, I guess, right? Like it's a good opener. I don't know what else we wanted to see there. Did you see anything that gives you any concern? Like, oh man, we really wanted to see X, Y, or Z out of that, or are we good and now we can really start the season?
I mean, I don't think there's too much concern right now. You know, like you said, how much are you really going to make out of them playing an FCS opponent? They did what they were supposed to do after a little bit of a slow start. They had a nice run to kind of end the half of the first half offense, and the second half, the backups and the backups came in and they did a good job there. The one thing that I'm looking for in this Illinois game is who gets the quarterback. Cause I was looking at their stats and obviously, you know, that the defense only like this first half was the first string defense. They only had, I think they ended the game with two sacks and two pressures of the quarterback total. KU did. So I think that could be something to pay attention to in this Illinois game, because that's the big question mark with this team is who's going to get to the quarterback. Obviously, you know, from what I saw from the defense, I was really impressed overall. I think, you know, they are as good as they were last year, at least in the secondary. Their defensive line did what it was supposed to do for the most part. But just kind of looking at the overall stats on the pressures and sacks and stuff like that, we're hoping maybe they end up with a little more, but I think the opposing team, Leonard Woods' quarterback, did a good job of getting rid of the ball before he got sacked a lot of times. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in this Illinois game. And obviously the big thing was, does Jalen Daniels look like Jalen Daniels? And initially Jalen Daniels did not quite look like Jalen Daniels, because you could definitely see a little bit of rust and, you know, the miscommunication with Luke Grimm on that interception. But, you know, he looked like his usual self by the end of second quarter. And, they ended up with like 350 plus yards on offense in the first half between him and the running back duo.
You know, for me, Sharius, going into the game against Lindenwood, it was less about, you know, what I wanted to see from individual players and positions. It was more about, this was the first game without Andy Kotelnicki calling the offense. And, you know, they've got a new offensive coordinators there. You know, Jeff Grimes obviously comes in and all of that. Did you notice anything different, you know, whether that's schematically or just in the way that that offense, you know, is put together play-wise, knowing that the Andy Kotelnicki era is now over?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they were under center a little more. There wasn't as much, kind of trickery, I'd say. But obviously it's game one, so, you know, it's hard to really make around. But one of the things with Andy was, you know, the people would complain about the fact that he would go for these kind of out-of-the-box plays on really important downs where there's no reason to do that. I didn't see that with Jeff Grimes, but, you know, Andy has, like, you know, if you watch that Penn State game, Drew Allaire looked really, really good. You know, obviously West Virginia doesn't look like a great team right now, or the defense doesn't look great at least. But, you know, Andy, to his credit, it seems like it was the right move for him, at least after game one of that, the Drew Allaire era, Penn State era. But with Grimes, I think there was, you can definitely see an imprint on his play, the run heavy offense a little bit. You know, he talked about wanting to be balanced. So you can definitely see a little bit of balance there. I think one of the things with Andy was always like, just the vibe I got and, you know, a lot of the receivers won't say this out loud, but, you know, they get to be more involved in the Jeff Grimes offense. They're not used as blockers as much as they might have been with, Andy. And I think, you know, you'll see that this year. They're going to be more involved. They're going to be used more. And especially three veterans who are all the same age, you know, I think that's huge. I think it's too hard to make an assessment really on the differences of Grimes and Andy. There were some subtle things like, you know, being under center more, you know, not being hurried up as much as Andy was at times. But I think
from the mind of a 2 foot tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition. You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It'll be really apparent in the Illinois game.
So one of the other things we maybe didn't get a look at that could just be the opponent was Jalen Daniels running the ball when it was what, you know, when it was 2022 or 2023, when he was a, you know, a legitimate bona fide in 2022 Heisman candidate, his legs were part of his game. Now he's not, you know, he's not going to run like Avery Johnson's probably going to run at K-State, but running the ball is a part of it. He didn't do that at all in the game against Lindenwood. And I don't fault them for it. I probably wouldn't have either, but we still kind of want to see it, don't we? Like, you want to see him take off and be able to do that?
No, you 100% want to see it. I think somebody asked me this on a mailbag question last week, and the way I look at it is KU's been so cautious about his recovery. They've been erring on the side of caution every step of the way. So I didn't expect Jalen Daniels to go out there and be like, hey, here's a design run. Go run for 10 yards. I expect Jalen Daniels to slowly incorporate that back into his game as the weeks come in. You know, we'll probably see a little bit of running from Jalen in the Illinois game. But I think it's not going to be an end-all, be-all thing where they do it right away. We're going to see him scrambling like crazy. We're going to see him extending plays as like Jalen Daniels does. Because at the end of the day, this Kansas football team knows that they go as far as Jalen Daniels' health goes. You know, like if they want to win the Big 12 championship, it's going to happen with Jalen Daniels on the field. You know, I don't see any other scenario in that in that case. So I get the cautiousness from the team, from Jalen, from everybody. I'm sure he's itching to kind of run around a little bit because, you know, it's always fun. But I expect this Illinois game, we'll see him tuck and run a little more and maybe some design runs here and there just to kind of get him back to his old self.
It's been so well documented, just the strength of the running back room for the Jayhawks coming into this season. It seems like Devin Neal, by the way, has been with the program for about 13 years now. You know, he's just been around forever. But between him and Daniel Hyshaw, Sevion Morrison, all three of them had touchdowns. Again, I know they're playing an FCS opponent. It's not going to be, they're not going to be able to, you know, probably run all over every single opponent, but that's absolutely going to be a strength of this Jayhawks offense and something that I would imagine that, you know, Lance Leipold is going to want to lean on. Maybe so they don't even, you know, necessarily have to lean on Jalen's legs quite as much at the quarterback position. I know takeaways are difficult in a game against Lindenwood, but you know, I'm sure that seeing that dominance on the ground, you know, you would think would probably bode well for them moving forward.
100%. I think Jeff Grimes said it best. You know, Devin Neal has the best make you miss ability of any running back he's coached, which is high praise because he's coached a lot of different places. And Daniel Hyshaw is one of those guys that kind of, you know, wants to love run people over. And he's like, if you combine those guys, and I'm always telling them to be a little bit more like each other, you know, it's like a superpower, a superhero almost. And I kind of agree with that. You know, like they have two very different type of backs that complement each other well. And you know, the Hyshaw is the battering ram that seems to open up the Devin Neal like 40, 50 yard runs that happen in the second half on a continuous basis. And I think it's going to be really interesting to see how Illinois, you know, kind of tries to defend both of them because they, you know, the press conferences have talked about how important KU's running game is for opening up the offense, but also just how much easier it makes Jalen's life because these guys are getting 4, 5, 6 yards on first downs. You know, like those are chunk yards you're getting. And now it's a second and 5 or a 3rd and 4 instead of, you know, a 2nd and 8 or a 3rd and 9 or something like that. I think that is so underrated. And, you know, like just even not just them, but Sevion Morrison looked good. You know, obviously the competition that they're playing isn't great, but he looked good. You know, Johnny Thompson looked good. You know, there's a lot of bright futures in that running back room. And it tells you, you know, a guy like Sevion might be playing a more prominent role at a team that isn't as stacked as Kansas is.
Trey Slotta, KU beat reporter for the KC Star, joining us. Follow Shreyas and find his work on X. But Shreyas, let's look to Illinois now. They were really good against Eastern Illinois. Another one where it's like, I don't even know what to do with that. I mean, I guess it's better for Illinois fans that they were not bad against them, but I don't know how you look ahead. I know that KU's a 5.5 point favorite. I know that they're playing in Champaign. I assume this will be a really good test for KU, really good measuring stick kind of opportunity for them to get out there as the number 19 team in the country, as a road favorite against a Big Ten team, and prove it to everybody watching.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's one of those things that, you know, it's a game on Fox Sports 1. It's at night. It's an important game to showcase that, yes, this is a team that can win a Big 12 championship. And it starts by winning against Illinois. It starts by showing that you are better than a Big 10 team. It starts by showing that you can go on the road and win these kind of games, because Illinois has been watching the game tape. They know what Kansas is. They know that they like lost a game that they could have won last year at certain points. And they've talked about it, that they, you know, this Illinois team is not as much better than last year's team. I mean, I went back and watched a little bit of last year, and I'm, you know, just looking at them against Eastern Illinois. I think the one good takeaway for Illinois fans is Eastern Illinois was projected to finish second in their conference in the Big Sky, I believe. And last year, if I remember correctly, Illinois barely beat Toledo. Toledo, obviously, pretty good team in their conference and you know, an FCS team. But the fact that they're already off to a better start this year than last year is a promising thing for Illinois fans. So I expect this to be a test, and I think it'll be closer than Kansas fans expect them to be, because there's going to be some growing pains. And I expect, you know, these coaches know each other well. You know, Lance has talked about how Illinois coaches has been kind of a helping hand in times he's needed. So I expect Illinois to be ready, especially at home. You know, it's sold out for the first time in a long time. That tells you the power of Kansas football and the excitement around Illinois football right now. And, you know, I think it's going to be a really interesting game, because it's going to be, you know, looking at a team like Illinois, which is so physical on both ends, you know, defensive and offensive line. You know, like, they've done a big job of, you know, getting transfers. They brought in a guy from Florida State that's going to be a nice defensive tackle that is to pay attention to. And just you look at that, and if Kansas comes out there with a commanding victory, to me, that is a big showcase of where this team is and where they want to go.
Shreyas, checking out your article that you dropped this morning on both the Kansas City Star and the Wichita Eagle about the one area that the Kansas defense struggled a year ago against Illinois. That was limiting Illinois' quarterback Luke Altmaier on the ground. He scrambled like crazy. I remember that a year ago in that game in Lawrence. And that, you know, to your point in your article, was kind of a theme for the Kansas defense a year ago, having a hard time containing quarterbacks and keeping them from scrambling and running all over the Kansas defense. What did you find out as you were, you know, writing that article? Of course, we'll, you know, obviously ask people to go and read it. But, you know, some of the things that you found out as far as what the Kansas defense is trying to do, at least in this particular game on Saturday, to keep that from happening again.
You know, I talked to DJ Withers about it, and he said the big thing is you got to limit these guys in their pass rush lanes. So, you know, you got to go in and kind of wreak havoc there, and you get to the quarterback early. I think Kansas last year really struggled with limiting, you know, kind of scrambling dual threat QBs. If there was a weakness on that defense, it was that, and maybe, you know, the rushing, they could have been a little better rushing defense-wise. But, you know, you look at this Kansas team, they know that all the things that happened last year, they have that in the back of their mind. This is an old team filled with a lot of continuity. So there is a sustained focus on, you know, defending a guy like Lou Altmaier who can run with his legs. I mean, last year he had a 70-yard touchdown run. You know, you can't have that in a game like this. That's especially when you're playing on the road. That's stuff that changes momentum. That's stuff that can change the game fabric. And, you know, it's important to make sure a quarterback who struggled, you know, throwing the ball against the Jayhawks defense, you know, continues to struggle overall, and you don't give them an out. And I think this Kansas team has done a good job of really focusing in this week on practice. I talked to a few different guys about it, and it seems like the big focus has been, hey, like, we know Luke can run. We know that he's going to do that. So we got to make sure he doesn't get comfortable. We got to keep him in the pocket. We got to make sure that when he is in the pocket, that he's taken care of and he's not getting the chance to step into his throws. And when he's running, you know, you have to make sure that you're making it limited to 1-2 yards instead of big 10, 15-yard chunk plays that can change the fabric of the offense in the game.
It's going to be good. They ran it as much as they threw it in that game against Eastern Illinois. Again, it's hard to take definitives away from that stuff, but you can read that preview and more of Shreyas's work as he looks ahead to this. You can follow him on X at SHRE98. Shreyas, let's go. Now we can really start the football season, right? Now we're getting like, now we're getting good here. That was a nice little tune-up. We'll call it the preseason. Now it's getting real for KU. We're looking forward to it.
Absolutely.
There goes Shreyas Lotta. Appreciate his weekly visits here, our KU insider for Sports Daily. It'll be fun. We'll have much more on that game as we make our way through the week, into the weekend. We get them on Saturdays. Like, this is real. We're real here now, Tommy, and we get a real test, and I'm excited about it. 5.5-point spread. Illinois seems to be for real. I didn't realize they had sold that game out. That's going to be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be.
That is going to be fun.
It'll be a blast, and, you know, I can't remember the last time that we were talking about, you know, a team selling out their stadium for the first time in a long time. I think it had been like 5 or 6 years since Illinois had a sellout, and they sold it out for Kansas coming to town.
Number 19 Kansas.
I know.
Right with a Heisman candidate quarterback. I get it. It's for it's, you know, we're there, and I can't wait for it. That game is going to be fun. We've got a good slate this week after, you know, after having to kind of sit through it last week. We got a good slate this week. Tulane, a good opponent for K-State as well. We got a couple of good true road games happening for the two teams this week. That'll be a lot of fun to watch on Saturday. More on that as we make our way through the week. Let's come back, and we will we'll have some fun here as well. We've got our Chiefs insider, Dan Israel, coming up top of the next hour. A little housekeeping in the next segment. We'll get you ready for that. Don't go away.
Haven't got all day.
869-1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
Welcome back, everybody. Sports Daily here on KFH. Let's set up our HTO giveaway, a text to win contest. You can enter the contest by texting the keyword T to the short code 20357. That will get you a free iced tea, more than 20 flavors, a free coffee drink with Free Rain Coffee, now featuring an apple crisp dirty chai or a butter pecan mocha, to two new fall flavor options from HTO. You can enter once per day. Message and data rate supply. Again, that's TTEA to the short code 20357. Tommy, don't let my shirt fool you. I'm on the struggle bus today. A trip home to Texas is always a wild experience. I had 5 fantasy football drafts, I think, over the course of the weekend. I don't really recall who I have on any of the teams. It all just sort of jumbles together. It's so, like, it's hard. My brother just opened a restaurant, Tommy. They put Keystone Light on draft. Like, I got a wild and crazy family, and it's like nonstop activity. Like,
it's all a blur. It's a blur of
the
weekend.
My back is thrown. Like, I don't know, man. It's
you had,
I'm getting too old for this.
You had 5 fantasy drafts. I know of one of them because I was a part of one of them.
Yeah, and you were helping. I was at,
I have to tell you,
6-man football game in Wildorado, Texas, trying to get enough reception to text pick Tommy.
I have to tell you, and I didn't say this while you were, you know, gone, because you're on vacation. I want you to enjoy yourself. So I figured I would bring it up on this program. That was probably the least fun draft I've ever been a part of, ever.
Because you were trying to help me?
Yeah, and it wasn't your fault. I mean, I'm happy to help. But the service was so bad in the basement of the house that we were in that I kept trying to take pictures of the draft board to send to you, and the pictures weren't going through. And then you're the only one that's not there. And so everybody's picking relatively quickly, and I'm still waiting for the picture to come to go through to you. And then everybody's looking at me like, how come your guy hasn't picked yet? And I'm like, I can't get the text to go through. I don't know. We're sitting here waiting. Like, it was... like, in fact, there were multiple times there. I was so busy working on figuring out who you were going to take that I was right after you, and I had no clue who I was going
to
take.
That's all part of my strategy to throw you off your game. No, and it felt to me like we were moving moderately quickly, which speaks to how bad the reception must have been on your end. Cause as soon as I'd get one, I'd fire one right off. And then, you know, the back and forth must've been bad. I was watching what was a 3.5-hour long 6-man game. 6-man games are usually very fast, right? They have a coach now who throws the ball every time, which is unheard of. And so the clock stopping like every 5 seconds. And I'm like, oh, this is insane. But it was fun. I got to see my nieces and nephews. They were playing volleyball.
Do they serve Keystone Light at 6-man football games too?
What's that?
Do they serve Keystone Light at 6-man football games?
They do not. No, they do not.
Especially if it's going to take 3.5 hours.
That thought did cross my mind, because that was the beginning of the trip before the other... shenanigans. If I just, we're getting old, man. Like, I can't hang like I used to hang. Like, it's a tough gig, but it was fun. I appreciate you guys holding down the fort. And now we're rocking and rolling. We're right in the middle of it, which means the Chiefs play tomorrow night. Up next, Dan Israel, our Chiefs insider, executive producer of the Chiefs Radio Network, hops on the program. We'll get you all primed up for this game against the Ravens when we return. Don't go away. Sports Daily, coming right back.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.